A Matter of Spirit is the quarterly justice journal of the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center. This article appeared in the fall 2019 issue on childhood. Waylaid at the Border, The Daily Life of Children Seeking Asylum by Tracy Horan, S.P. Tracy Horan, S.P., is the education coordinator for the Kino Border Initiative in Nogales, Arizona, Nogales, Son, Mexico, and has ministered with the Latinx migrant communities for nearly a decade. She previously worked as a teacher and then community organizer and has written on issues of faith and justice for Global Sisters Report. On a sweltering Friday afternoon in September, four women seeking asylum sat around the kitchen table to share their stories with visitors from the U.S. Children could be overheard playing on the patio outside Casa Nazareth, the Kino Border Initiative shelter for women and children in Nogales, Sonora. From Guatemala, Venezuela, and the state of Guerrero in southern Mexico, the women who had offered to speak with the group first fidgeted quietly and then began to open up about what their lives had looked like over the past year, the violence and poverty they fled, the grueling travel north, and then being turned back when they approached the border to request an asylum hearing. Though Casa Nazareth previously served as a safe place for Mexican women who had been recently deported from the U.S., its primary function for the past year has been to house women seeking asylum and their children. This shift coincided with the implementation of metering in the summer of 2018. Customs and Border Protection agents stationed to turn back asylum seekers at various ports of entry across the U.S.-Mexico border. Families turned back at border cities have then been put on lists and left to wait weeks or months until they would begin the formal process of seeking asylum in the U.S. The Robert Strauss Center's metering update reports that as of May 2019, this metering has resulted in over 18,000 asylum seekers waiting in cities in northern Mexico, including approximately 900 people in Nogales, Sonora. In places like Ciudad Juarez and Tijuana, where Remain in Mexico RIM protocols have been implemented and asylum seekers have been returned to Mexico for their entire asylum proceedings, the number is even more staggering. At least 42,000 people have been returned to Mexico under the RIM policy. The majority of those waiting are women and children. Ziomara shared that for the past month, her three-year-old son thought they were on vacation. She laughed slightly, and the reverberating silence suggested that all understood this was no vacation. Ziomara went on to speak about life in Guerrero before she decided to travel to the U.S.-Mexico border with her young son. The violence had shifted, she said. Before, the drug cartel seemed to target individuals, usually at their home. Now it was happening in public spaces. She described what it was like to crouch down with her son when shooting started in the street. Sometimes, she said, he would shake for a long time after it had stopped. The 15 children from 8 different families at Casa Nazareth had all made the trip from their homes to a place they didn't know. For some, it would be the first time they left the small town where they were born. Mariana, who traveled north from Venezuela with her husband, 4-month-old son, and 2 other children, described her concern about the impact the trip had on the baby. He had hardly slept the whole trip, she commented. It was as if his tiny body was in shock, as if he knew he wasn't at home. When they arrived at Casa Nazareth, he slept for nearly 20 hours, waking only twice to eat. All 4 women agreed their children couldn't fully comprehend what was happening. Some, like Ziomara, had told their children they were going on vacation or to visit family in the U.S. Other older children seemed to understand at some level what was happening. All seemed to share the idea that they were headed for the U.S. and that life would be better there. They'll finally be able to go back to school, Ziomara said with hope in her eyes. That was what her kids were most excited about. Her son wanted to be an architect, her daughter a nurse. They had already been out of school for 6 months when they made the trip from Guerrero. According to Ziomara, the teachers stopped showing up for school when the violence escalated. It was too much of a risk, not worth the meager pay they earned. The other mothers agreed with this. They worried about their kids falling behind and commented on how their older children had been much further ahead in their skills at this stage compared to the younger ones, who would be waylaid at the border rather than heading back to school. Although I often marvel at how well-behaved children at the El Comedor, the dining room connected to Casa Nazareth, are, given how much time they spend waiting hungry in the heat, the agitation children feel sometimes manifests itself in temper tantrums and fights. One week at the El Comedor, while one of our KBI staff members talked with a distraught Mexican mother seeking asylum, I watched her three young sons poke at each other at the table behind their mother. She couldn't stop crying and was worried they wouldn't have a place to sleep for the night. She regularly had to turn around to break up their squabbles as the KBI staff member talked through options with her. I grabbed a few coloring sheets and crayons and approached the battling brothers. Within 30 seconds, they were quietly coloring. Wow, I marveled to another staff member, they really just needed something to do. They stayed there coloring for another 15 minutes without complaint and asked for more pages to color as they left. According to Bob Key, a volunteer who for years has been attending to medical needs of visitors to El Comedor, the stresses of these transitory conditions also manifest themselves in physical health issues. He names colds, fevers, allergies, diarrhea, loss of appetite, cuts, bruises, head lice, and rashes as the most common ailments. They are both dehydrated and exhausted. These are givens. The change of climate is a major factor for many children who are coming from more tropical or temperate climates. I would say the first month is probably the most difficult, but some never adapt to either the extreme dry heat or cold. Key has also observed the way children take on mental and emotional stress. Children are extremely intuitive and can read body language, especially that of a parent. So as they pick up on this from their parents, many children will take on this stress. And of course, they are dealing with their own stresses. My fear and belief is that there are a tremendous number of children who are suffering from stress and trauma directly related to their situation, which is often worse than the physical ailments that children get. The hope for the women at Casa Nazareth, as well as thousands of people awaiting asylum hearings at the U.S.-Mexico border, is that one day they might look back and know that the emotional and physical trials their families have endured those weeks, months, or sometimes years, valió la pena, that it was worth the risk. With only about 1 in 10 asylum seekers at the U.S.-Mexico border being granted relief, and recent implementation of an asylum ban for countries non-contiguous to the U.S., this hope is becoming increasingly a far-reaching dream rather than tangible reality.